that this is not, but it's not the music. I will start when our music plays. Do you not hear that? Who says this is our new Teaspoon Safflower says this is our new theme song? Oh, okay. All right. You are now listening to WBPPR, Big Pretty Public Radio, on the Perfecta Podcast Network. The following program has been brought to you by Teaspoon Safflower. I'm Teaspoon Safflower, and Dana is my bitch. Why is this happening to me? Why did I read it? Okay. And now, an evening with the authors. I am your host, Dana Glass. Welcome, loyal listeners, to yet another episode of An Evening with the Authors that has been hijacked from our sole sponsor, Mr. Teaspoon Safflower. You can see he's gone out of his way, episode after episode, to make my life uncomfortable. And you know what? That's fine. That's fine. I can come here, I can still be a professional, and I can still do a show. What I will not do is bring my patented banter to the program. No, no quips, no funsies from me, just straight into the action. And so let's do it. Let's not have any relationship with our producers or our interns or between host and listener. Let's just all suffer together. How about that? Well, actually, it's not much suffering. This is actually a fairly good lineup of authors here, so I redact some of the things I just said, but my sentiment remains the same. Let's just do the show. This is the introduction for our first author. He writes short stories. He will now read from his book of the same name. Here is Jim Poe.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I will keep this as brief as possible. I write short stories. Those are stories written in 6 words or less. I will not waste your time, like so many authors do on this show, with their nonsense. I will be telling many complete stories. You can buy my book. It has thousands of them. If you're not familiar with the 6-word stories, here are some examples. Hemingway wrote, "For sale, baby shoes, never worn." Tragic. Stephen Colbert wrote, "Well, I thought I was funny." A member of this show, one Bobby Jarbowski, wrote, "Samantha, you there? It's me, Daddy." I know a lot of you still are unconvinced that one can tell an entire story with so few words. But take, for example, these 2 similar but very different tales. "The damn dog bit me. Ouch." "The darn dog bit me. Ouchie." Clearly, these are 2 separate tales of a man and his son, one of whom is significantly younger than the other. We have other examples. Moby Dick. Herman Melville spent 585 pages all bullshit. "Man tries to catch whale, dies instead." You're welcome. I've saved you months. Because I find that some people Oh, I saw this man counting in the... Yes, that was, in fact, 7 words. If I have to read through 585 words of bullshit, pages of bullshit, words, pages, Jesus Christ, then you can endure 7 words. And before I get started, I do not want to talk about whether a contraction counts as 2 words or 1. It's 1 according to Microsoft Word. Now, because many people still are not on board, what I plan to do is I am going to give you the 6-word story of some popular movies and television programs. I will pause momentarily afterwards if you wish to shout out the answer, and then I will continue. Are we clear? Yes. Okay. Man resurrects dinosaurs. Dies... Wait, nope, wrong one. Man resurrects dinosaurs. Doesn't go well. Yes. Girl loves boxing. Then she is unplugged. That's $1 Million Baby. God damn, that shark is big. Hot chick. Is that a dick? Yes. Board game gets a little wild. Video game gets a little wild. It came out a month ago. No, it's Jumanji. The second one. Impossible mission isn't actually impossible. I can't drive below 55. Boom. Speed. Carpet gets soiled, dude gets screwed. Yes. The Big Lebowski. Plane crashes on island, it's purgatory. Ted meets mother, actually loves Robin. How I Met Your Mother. Coffee, pie, red curtains, and nonsense. It wasn't a monster after all. Scooby-Doo. Scrappy-Doo ruined the gang's chemistry. Also Scooby-Doo. So, now that we've established that it can be done, let me get to some of my own stories. I will start with the chapter of stories involving food. Skip the clams. I got diarrhea. Make that Mac sound like coitus. Overcooked the roast. Now grandpa's crying. Sharon forgot to season the mashed potatoes. Sliced an avocado. Take me. Hospital. What kind of meat is this? The extra muffins started to show. Celiac disease or just culinary fraud? That is a cutting indictment of the gluten-free movement. Is that spit or mayo? Whatever. This next section will be about family. I was born. Then came depression. Who's a good boy? Sparky is. The kids won't dress themselves, Sharon. We like the firstborn best. Sparky is holding this family together. Love my kids, hate my wife. Went to the park, lost Kyle. This next section will be about fantasy. God damn, that dragon is big. The mermaid's tail still flopped about. Sharon, Dungeons and Dragons isn't weird. This next section is about poetry. Haikus are way too long. Couplets, how about onelets? She was tired, then got fired. I just found that one cute. This next section is sad. So if you are prone to sadness, cease listening starting now. We met, she cheated, I left. Sign the divorce papers, or else. Sharon was a cold-hearted bitch. Sparky has cancer. Put him down. Writing that devastated me. Gun? No. Rope sends a message. No hope left. Half was everything. So this next section is about mysteries. It wasn't the butler until I... There you go. Arson or a case of justice? Whose fingerprints are those? Not mine. Life sentence? I've already done one. He escaped, but not for long. I should reiterate, these are fiction. This next section is on metaphysics and philosophy. If I am, what am I? I can't die. I didn't live. What is life? Nothing but trouble. Sharon can't take everything from me. I am invincible. My body isn't. So let's lighten things up for this last section. It's the comedy section of the book. All right, here we go. The blessed Swiss cheese was holy. The baseball made contact via scrotum. Thesaurus, a fool's guide to words. Stepped on a chocolate bar. Shit. The chicken crossed. Truck didn't see. Tossed banana peel. Man slipped over. His misery makes me delightful. And finally, Sharon fell down, tore her vagina. I hope you have enjoyed this short segment on Short Short Stories. Do buy my book, Six Words or Fewer. I will be selling it online. Thank you very much.
Concise and to the point from Jim. I cannot get used to this music. What is this? Is this rock and roll? We shouldn't have rock and roll on public radio. We're going to scare somebody. Moving on. Our next author might not be the first name you think of for inner peace and serenity, but they've crushed all obstacles getting to the top of the bestseller list with their successful self-help manual, Eat, Pray, Love, 5 Zen Koans to Maximize Your Inner Potential. Please help me welcome to our show the favorite apex predator of monster truck rallies everywhere, Robosaurus.
I won't try to hide from my brutal past. I used to view my fellow apex predators as competition, and it was all I could do to scavenge the tastiest selection of compact cars and small aircraft from my rivals, Bigfoot, Gravedigger, Rolling Thunder, Screaming Demon, Afterburner, and many more. I was equally as malevolent upon meeting my brethren, Truckzilla and Trucksaurus Rex. At the time, I saw them as pale imitators of me, the almighty Robosaurus. Then one day, I think it was a Sunday, As Truxzilla and I were fighting over a not even particularly tasty jalopy, it dawned on me. Even after besting Truxzilla's grasp by using all 24,000 pounds of force in my claws, there had to be something more. Did I even know who I was? Oh, 31 tons and 500 horsepower turbocharged Cummins diesel engine of me? Was I a dinosaur robot or a robot dinosaur? Was I a fire-breathing, car-eating, electro-hydromechanical, 40-foot-tall, 58,000-pound monster entertainment dinosaur robot that can transform into a 48-foot semi-trailer that meets every highway size and weight requirement for all 50 states? Or was I a 48-foot semi-trailer that meets every highway size and weight requirement for all 50 states that can transform into a fire-breathing, car-eating, electro-hydromechanical, 40-foot-tall, 58,000-pound monster entertainment dinosaur robot? Who am I? Where did I come from? The simple answer is that I was created in 1989 by Doug Malowicki, the aeronautical and astronautical engineer with an MS from Stanford University. But this still did not satisfy me. Who was my ultimate creator? The one who planted the robotic seed egg idea of me into Doug's brilliant mind. Truxzilla's attention had turned to a succulent bounty of Toyota Corollas, and for the first time, I saw my true self mirrored in him. I extended my four hydraulic pumps of massive right foreleg out to him, and I abandoned my roars in a cry for help. Brother! Truxzilla's flaming breath ignited my heart chakra, and I realized that Truxzilla was more than a mirror of myself. He was fully self-actualized. If I practiced self-discipline, I could model myself after his consciousness, and he could be my future. Later that evening, he introduced me to Zen Buddhism, and I asked him to be my sensei. Robosaurus, it is not enough to know that I am an enormous, destructive, prehistoric sea monster, awakened and empowered by radiation, conceived as a metaphor for nuclear weapons in the wake of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. For I am indeed all those things. But I am also forged from a bunch of totally badass robot components. Old Truxzilla joke. All right. So we already know that I'm a wicked sick sea monster formed from only the raddest of robotics. But who am I? Who are you? What is existence? When we meditate, how do we keep our mind on the void? Then he said, Robosaurus-san, I believe your mind and heart might be soothed by this koan from the Platform Sutras. It is one of my favorites. What is this? I know. I didn't get it at first either. But then I read an accompanying story and interpretation from Karma Lakshit Somo, a professor of theology and religious studies at the University of San Diego. In 1982, when she received full ordination as a bhikkhuni, a fully ordained Buddhist nun in Busan, Korea, the senior nun among the ordination masters was a remarkable master named Hajun Sunim. When Tusamo met Hajun Sunim one afternoon in a sparse tatami room at the monastery, Sunim asked Somo's name in a very formal manner. Tusamo responded that her name was Hegang, which means, Wisdom of Emptiness, a Korean name that had just been given to her by Kusan Sunim, the most renowned Zen master alive at that time. Suddenly, she heard her name ring out through the room. He Gong! Startled, she responded, and Sunim then asked, "Who responded when I called your name?" The popular Korean koan, "What is this?" calls us to wake up to the moment and attend to whatever we are experiencing at the moment. Ultimately, it calls us to question the nature of the self. When the master called He Gong, she called He Gong to question her very identity. Wake up! Pay attention! Who are you anyway? When I call to you, Robosaurus, who answers? I burst into flaming tears as the beautiful cosmic meaning snapped into place for a moment that was both fleeting and eternal. I understood the ephemera of time and space and felt my ancestors' legacy vibrating within every molecule of my being. A hero! Robosaurus was created to be a hero! Truxilla's mindfulness practice enlightened every corner of my existence. I found myself getting better miles per gallon, eating when eating fewer compact cars. I was connecting with the rally audiences in more purposeful ways. The anger and fear had melted away. One day I'll be too old for the rallies and air shows, even though my recent non-destructive testing, or NDT inspection, was performed at 250,000 miles and showed no weld fatigue degradation. However, when the day comes that my welded joints do show fatigue degradation, who knows? Who knows when that day will be? Maybe it will even be this 4th of July weekend. I shall prepare for annihilation and revel in the inner peace that the first 100 people through the gate of consciousness get a free can of natural light. My self-help manual, Eat, Pray, that's P-R-E-Y, Eat, Pray, Love, 5 Zen Koans to Maximize Your Inner Potential is only available at Bass Pro Shops. And for kids, it's just 10 bucks! If you remember nothing else from me, I'd like to leave you with one more koan that I always request to be included in the rally commercials. Be there! Be there! Be there!
Truly insightful work from Robosaurus. Our final author had to take a sabbatical from writing to smite his enemies and lay waste to their lands. With all his adversaries vanquished, retired warlord of the Broken Lands, Grom the Forsaken, has returned to our show to read from his new young adult novel, Mystic Valley High, The New Class, Age of Ethan.
Good evening. I have written a book to tell a tale for the ages. My book is entitled Mystic Valley High, The New Class, Age of Ethan. In later times, elders would say that the time was ripe for a hero, that in this age it was inevitable that one would rise against the forces of darkness. This from prologue. For nearly a decade, Mystic Valley High School had been under the terror of really plain, generic, popular kids. Just no personality, doing what they think everyone wants them to do, loser types. The guys were all like, "Did you watch football yesterday?" And the girls are all like, "I watched football with Kyle yesterday." And the guys are all like, "I work out a bunch, but I have tons of acne and skip leg days." And the girls are all like, "Does this sweater make my face look special in any way?" It was an age of bland unoriginality. It was an age ripe for a hero. It was the age of Ethan. Freshman year. Ethan entered Mystic Valley High on the first day of school. Clusters of freshmen scurried about as older, cooler kids marauded the hallways looking for stragglers who had fallen away from the protection of their clans. These stragglers, who in years past would have been pushed or had all their shit smacked out of their hands, were now simply marked for social torment. No longer was physical assault the norm. Now these kids would have to feel the constant vibration in their pocket as a reminder that the unoriginal post about them being a loser had been shared or liked yet again. Dark sorcery, this is. Right away, Ethan realized that his X-Men hoodie was drastically different than the outdoor lifestyle branded clothing that most of the popular kids wore. Brands like North Face or Patagonia. Brands that knew that harsh mountainscapes and untouched wilderness best represented the adversity that most upper middle class white children have to overcome. When Kyle, a popular junior, saw Ethan's hoodie, he immediately called out to his peers. Ethan, fearing that he would be marked, pulled off his hoodie in a panic, forgetting that underneath he was wearing a Fantastic Four t-shirt. Kyle managed to film the action and almost immediately turned it into a GIF. A GIF that simply cycled back and forth between the X-Men hoodie coming off on to endlessly reveal the Fantastic Four shirt. Then Kyle added a caption that said, "When you can't decide what kind of loser you want to be that day." The GIF would go on to be the pinned post for a Twitter account that was basically a social burn book that the school legally could do nothing about. It was a grim year for Ethan. Sophomore year. Ethan had yet to live down the meme of him in the X-Men hoodie. In fact, Kyle, already driven by the extraordinary ego that is being a senior, had parlayed the meme into slight internet fandom. He would travel to local bars and comedy clubs as what is known as a meme comedian. A bard of sorts that has no known talent of writing ability or performance. They simply show memes they made on a projector and answer questions about the memes. The crowd loved it. Just when the whole thing was starting to lose steam, Kyle started an audience participation section to his fan page. Fans could mail Kyle a comic book shirt and $50, and he would make a video of him handing to Ethan asking if this is the kind of loser he was today. One video in particular hurt more than others. In this one, Kyle got the principal involved. The video starts with Principal Arlo handing Ethan an Incredible Hulk shirt and asks, "Is this the type of loser you are today?" Ethan begins to tear up around the 30-second mark. That is when the principal says, "I figure you were gonna cry, so I brought this Aquaman shirt too. Didn't want you to drown in those tears." Before tossing an Aquaman shirt onto Ethan's head. The series really peaked when Kyle organized for the entire school to throw superhero shirts at Ethan and yell, "Is that what type of loser you are today?" One of the teachers had to fake their own death in order to give the school a reason to call a convocation. Junior year. Ethan entered the school ready to start another year of torment. Little did he know that fate had graced him a weekend earlier at his birthday that was at his grandma's house. He had asked for a Patagonia sweatshirt, a magical garment sure to alleviate some of his social curses. Upon opening the gift from his grandma, he saw not a Patagonia sweatshirt, but instead a vibrantly colored hoodie from a more obscure outdoor lifestyle brand called Cotopaxi. Cotopaxi sold patchwork garments made from recycled fluorescent nylon. They also donate a sizable amount of profits to charity. But more importantly for Ethan, Cotopaxi was popular with festival kids, speed users, and college dudes who slept with high school girls. It was a neon-soaked year of electronic music, sweaty dancing, teeth grinding, and blowjobs from girls who were best described as sexually charged latchkey kids. Senior year. After a brief stint at juvenile rehab, Ethan emerged healthy, sober, and a certified yoga instructor. Lost and without purpose, Ethan fell into a depression. He also found out that not having Adderall and Molly all the time really limited his access to body paint loving festival girls. Ethan lay rudderless in his room on a massive pile of superhero shirts. Then inspiration struck him like a banshee's wail. Ethan decided to graduate early and set his plan into motion right away. When Ethan's classmates walked across the graduation stage that June, Ethan also crossed a stage at Bonnaroo. He had been invited to go snort Adderall with Miley Cyrus backstage. Miley just so happened to be Ethan's new neighbor. Something Ethan learned after buying a home in Malibu shortly after the instant success of his online company, MyVintageComicTee.com. Thank you.
As always, powerful work from Grom the Forsaken. Loyal listeners, that will do it for this episode of An Evening with the Authors. I would like to thank my producer Bernadette for dropping changes on me as we go on air. I'd like to thank intern Marley for not giving me any sort of warning before I read a sponsor that directly insulted me with profanity. I'd like to thank all of the authors who donated their work to our show to be made a mockery of. I'd like to thank, who was the artist again? Baby Clayton T. Bradshaw for submitting this music that is playing. I'd like to especially thank Mr. Teaspoon Safflower for doing everything he can to ruin my life. Please follow us on social media. You can find video editions of our program on our Facebook page, An Evening with the Authors. And you can find us on Instagram at @fakeauthorsindy. I was being sarcastic with all of the thank yous beforehand, but I honestly still would very much like to thank you, loyal listeners, for spending an evening with the authors. I am Dana Glass. Good night.